COP, Dr. Salmon. It's a pleasure to be here today. Thank you for taking just a few minutes to hear what Montgomery County's current circumstances are around public school construction. We first of all want to thank you for your past support in the state allocation in FY 2018. We have $37.4 million and $21.8 million in state aid through the capital grant program. We've provided a lot of information attached to our testimony. I was going to talk about some of that, but I'm going to forego that because it's in front of you today. The story in Montgomery County is growth. We have had tremendous growth. By 2022, we anticipate that we will exceed 168,000 or more students. We've actually had more than 21,000 students join us in the last 10 years. And currently, those students who are primarily elementary a few years ago are moving into middle and high school, which leaves us about 10,000 seats short in middle and high school. So much of our capital project program that we will release in the coming weeks will be around middle and high school, expansion for seats, and renovation of aging infrastructure. We did have a task force in 2016 that looked at planned life cycle asset replacement, HVAC, and roof replacement. So we worked hard in those areas to make sure that we are taking very, very good care of what is provided by our local and state governments. We know the absolute importance of fiduciary responsibility with the state and local construction dollars, and we continue to use them in the most efficient and effective ways. We ask that you look at our request today and that you consider it and understand that the story in Montgomery County is a balance between maintenance, expansion for growth, and updating aging facilities. Thank you.
No, thank you, Dr. Smith. I want to thank you for your brevity, because we're running hours behind schedule. We've been going since 10 a.m., and that was the best presentation I've heard so far. You yield the rest of your time to the...
Absolutely.
Thank you. Any questions for Montgomery County?
Just quickly, congrats on the maintenance, because it's big improvements, Mr. Song.
Yes.
Thank you.
And thank you for the three awards today. We will present those to our principals.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
I like that one. Next up, Prince George's County. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Comptroller Franco, Treasurer Kopp, Dr. Salmon. For the record, my name is Kevin Maxwell, and I am the Chief Executive Officer of Prince George's County Public Schools. Here today with some of my staff, representing the team who developed our fiscal year 2019-24 Capital Improvement Program. We have a new Director of Capital Programs, Mr. Sean Matlock, who joined us in late September, a new Capital Improvement Officer, Elizabeth Chason, and we welcome their fresh perspective to the challenge of implementing our capital program. Delegate Susie Proctor from District 27A is here with us as well. I welcome her, and I will also try to be brief. This year's submission is a little different than the ones in the past. It combines both the local and the state request into one submission with appendices separating the state documents from the local ones. The significance is that both the state and our public stakeholders can see the magnitude of the local share funding requested in the fiscal year 19. We are asking the county for approximately $255 million and the state for approximately $84 million, which is almost $18 million more than we received last year, and includes $27 million in funding requests for five major state-approved projects, as well as some comprehensive heating and cooling HVAC replacements to eight of our schools. As one of the largest school systems, we have over 200 facilities spread over almost 500 square miles and 132,000 children. More than 50% of our 200 facilities are over 40 years of age and in need of modernization. Significant enrollment growth in the northern area of the county has created overcrowding in over 90 of our facilities that further reduces their educational adequacy and exacerbates the condition deficiencies. So I think at that I will say we did a 20-year master plan study by an outside a group that made recommendations, and the implementation cost of the plan is around $425 million a year, or $5.6 billion in 2017 dollars. And that is not a funding level that either the state or the county have been able to meet thus far. And at this rate, we'll take over 60 years to do the 20-year modernization plan. With that, I think I'll stop because you have all the appendices and the other remarks that we have prepared.
Thank you very much. Anybody else from your team need to say any remarks?
Would you like to say a couple words?
Oh, I would just thank you for your support in the past and ask for your support again as a retired teacher of Prince George's County. I really appreciate your support.
Thank you, Delegate. Two things I have. One is on the maybe this is an anomaly because of the way what you include, and we may be comparing apples to oranges, but I noticed that you have a $479 per square foot construction cost on average, which seems to be the highest in the state or one of the highest. And I'm just wondering what you attribute that to.
Sean or Will?
Yeah, it's right next to Montgomery County's, which is 485. Part of that is due to the adjacency to the Washington, D.C. area. There's a considerable additional expenditures related to the markets that we're dealing with, as opposed to some of the other markets where they don't have as much competition for both labor and the cost of doing business. In addition, unfortunately for us, we have learned that there's a bit of a premium that's been applied to some of our purchasing or providing services to us based upon some of the inefficiencies in which we've been dealing with. And we're trying to address those now. We're actually working to address those now. And in addition to that, there is some soft costs in there that aren't directly related to the actual cost of the building, but things around it.
Gotcha. Good answer. Thank you. And the other question was, Dr. Maxwell, last year I was ready to congratulate you. We missed you last January. I was going to congratulate you on your maintenance scores going up, and this year they went down. So you missed out on the attaboy, but now you've dropped from good to adequate.
I apologize for missing the attaboy, sir. But I appreciate the opportunity to be here today.
But can you explain why you dropped from good in FY16 to adequate in 2017? It seems like you're going in the wrong direction now.
So I think, you know, my maintenance person, Mr. Sam Stefanelli, is coming up, but I would say that the longer we delay some of the work, I mean, we have an aging infrastructure. We inherited, quite a backlog in both maintenance and in new construction. And the longer, we have to delay that work, the worse the conditions get. I mean, we're doing our best to keep up with the issues and the problems in the system. But the reality is, the longer you keep delaying, I mean, we all know if you delay, putting a roof on your house, sooner or later you're going to have, the leaky under structure of the roof. Same thing is true if you don't keep up with the paint, then pretty soon you're replacing wood. And it's those kinds of issues. Sam, do you have anything else you want to add?
No, the only difference is we have an increase in replacing equipment that is failing as opposed to maintaining. So our maintenance budget is taking a big hit because the capital programs is not able to keep up with that. So it's a combination of the aging of the buildings, and we're kind of caught in that where we're starting to lose ground because we're having to replace equipment that's failing as opposed to maintain.
Okay.
But there is an increase in support from the Board of Education and the counties. That's been the focus the last 2 years.
Good.
So we are seeing an increase in our resources that are afforded to us from the county and the Board of Education, which is going to help that school.
Thank you. Any questions? Other questions?
Yeah, just a quick question, if I could, Dr. Maxwell, on the High Point High School in Beltsville. I'm told it has the highest population of English language learners in the state. In May of this year, 1,104 of the 2,675 students were English language learners. And apparently, the 2,675 students who attended the school in May are 600, that's more than 600 students over the capacity. So I guess the question is, when are we going to build a replacement high school for High Point?
So I think there's a couple pieces of that. First of all, High Point High School is certainly a challenging school, but we also have other schools with challenges as well. We have a two-part solution to that, and again, there are members of my team here that can speak more deeply to it than I. But we don't believe that size school with the challenge that it has is really the right solution for Prince George's County. We have a new northern area high school in our capital plan as well, And we would like, you know, our position, our plan as a system based on the work from the recommendations of the outside group that helped develop our facilities master plan is to build the new Northern Area High School, reduce the size of High Point High School, and replace it. It doesn't make any sense to replace the high school at the size that it is when, in fact, we believe it should really be two high schools.
What's that fish tank you have in your office? I sometimes come over to visit just to see them.
You should come back. You should come back again and see them. They're doing just fine.
It calms me down.
Yeah, it does me too.
Maybe we can
briefly
send them over there every other Wednesday.
I'd be happy to host them. And while I can't offer the crab cakes that were offered earlier, I can certainly offer you lunch.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Maxwell.
Thank you so much.
Next up, we have Dorchester County.
Governor, Dorchester County is coming up. Let me just say, so far in all of these, what I see is Prince George has mentioned it's just about it at its debt limit, and it can't increase operating taxes because of TRIM. We're just about at our debt limit, and yet there's this whole unmet, huge unmet need. I think that really, that's the basic problem.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Governor Hogan, Controller Francho, and Treasurer Ms. Knotts. I'm here today. My name is Glenn Bramwell. I'm President of Dorchester County Board of Education. I'll be quick. I'd like to introduce our new superintendent, I might add, Dr. Diana Mitchell.
Welcome. Congratulations.
The lady here in the back, Laura Layton, a new member this past year. We all know, I think, Johnny Moss over here.
Everybody knows Johnny.
Okay. Our director of facilities here, Dwayne App, in operations. The man here is the one that you won't have a problem with on taking care of our property and our school systems without mentioning any previous people that stood before you. He takes care of, very care of the schools, and I think that, you know, Controller Francho, I think, can verify that as well by listing our schools in Dorchester County, which is Chris Hay. With that in mind, I'm going to turn it over to our wonderful new Superintendent Diana Mitchell.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Comptroller Francho, Treasurer Pope, State Superintendent Dr. Solomon, and staff. I am Diana Mitchell, Superintendent of Dorchester County Public Schools, and we greatly appreciate this opportunity to speak with you on behalf of the Board of Education, the County Council, the Dorchester Delegation, and most importantly, the students and families of Dorchester County Public Schools. Today, we are seeking funding for the third of a balance of a fiscal year project for a critically important project for the replacement of 63-year-old North Dorchester High School. Dorchester County is a very small school system of 4,800 students. We've been fortunate enough to be able to replace and renovate several facilities over the years thanks to the funding and the partnership between the State of Maryland, the Dorchester County Council, and we continue to be grateful for that partnership. Nevertheless, we have numerous needs in our schools, which requires us to continue to advance our long-term capital improvement planning. Furthermore, as you are aware, Dorchester County faces a variety of economic challenges that rival those of more prominent school districts in the state of Maryland. Dorchester County currently has 63% of our students who are eligible for free and reduced meals. We continue to experience both a decline in our local tax base and a high unemployment rate. Given these challenges, we are thrilled and thankful to have a new Dorchester County High School. We are currently in phase two of a four-year phase project. Steel and block work are currently underway, and we are about 10 days ahead of schedule on this project. All of this compels us to speak on our request. We are seeking from the Board of Public Works the three-year state funding of $10,021,000 for the North Dorchester High School project. In addition to the high school, we are also requesting state funding to support three projects to vastly improve the efficiency and efficacy of our district across the district. The three projects are South Dorchester K-8 High School, which was built in 1954, and this is for a multi-year phase to cover the HVAC ventilation system. The total project cost is $7,260,000. They're requesting $2,363,000 for the fiscal year 19 for phase one. According to a report by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency passed January 2017, good indoor air quality contributes to a favorable environment for students, performance of teachers and staff, and a sense of comfort, health, and well-being. Moreover, children breathe more, eat more, and drink more liquid in proportion to their body and weight than adults. Therefore, air quality in schools is of a concern. Proper maintenance of indoor air quality is a quality issue. It incapacitates us, safety and stewardship of our investments for students and staff. We are requesting funds for the fiscal year 2019 for roof replacements for Vienna Elementary School, built in 1956, for $615,000, and New Directions Learning Academy, built in 1975, in the amount of $992,000. In conclusion, we wish to thank you for this opportunity to advocate on behalf of the students and families of Dorchester County. Do you have any questions for myself or the staff or our delegate? Please advise at this time.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Mitchell. Would anybody else like to make any comments, including your distinguished delegate? Anything you want to add there, John?
No,
Johnny?
He doesn't want to say anything.
you want to talk about that Waterman Challenge contest we had?
You got me, Governor. I did the best that I could, and you broke those pilings, and you made me look. You put me in my place.
Thank you. Thank you for admitting that.
A lot of people gave me a hard time. They said you're supposed to let the governor win,
Johnny.
And I said, no, not over here. Everybody has to fend for their own. And so, way to go.
I just want the record to show that not only did I beat Delegate Mouse, but most of the professional watermen. With a great score, and I got 5 offers to work on boats right after that.
Come
on. All right. Any other questions for Dorchester County?
Seriously, Governor, this project in North Dorchester is a huge project. Everyone in the community is wrapped around it. It's a phenomenal thing. And if you get the chance to stop by, we'd love to have host you for a visit. It's in Miami, and we're really excited about it. Our new superintendent, she's grabbed the reins. The board has been there the whole step of the way. And I'm new, and this is my third year, first term. And so I've jumped on the bandwagon. Delegate Becker couldn't be here, so she wanted to send her regards and her appreciation and her support for everything we're doing in Dorchester County.
Thank you very much. I'm new also, so we both are freshmen. Hadn't been 3 years yet, though, not for me. You're jumping the gun a little bit until January. You know. 2 3/4, let's say. But thank you all very much. I guess we don't have any questions for Dorchester, but thanks for the team to come down.
Thank you
for all working together. We're going to move now to Maryland School for the Blind.
Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Comptroller Franchot, and Treasurer Kopp. My name is Mike Bina, President of the Maryland School for the Blind. We are grateful to the Board of Public Works that 3 of our 6 Campus Master Plan phases have been completed. Being good stewards of state funding, magic words, ahead of schedule, and under budget. We want to thank you for the opportunity to replace our aged out, not fully handicapped accessible buildings that serve all Maryland's 24 local school systems, averting the need to send these students, if they can't serve in their counties, out of state, separated from their families at twice the cost than what MSB is able to serve them. The school respectfully requests your approval of the $24 million newcomer renovation project as a cost savings measure to allow the cash flow from the state to match our construction schedule, averting the need for expensive bank loans, which are MSB's only option available to bridge the funding gap. MSB must secure commercial bank loans to forward fund construction to stay on schedule, with construction proceeding faster than state funding. Our debt service is greatly increasing our construction costs, our funds going to commercial lenders versus directly adding value to Maryland's school facility improvements, which is a much better use of state funding. Governor Hogan, Comptroller Franchot, and Treasurer Kopp, we urge your serious consideration of our request to avert the need for additional bank loans, and we sincerely appreciate your continued support of our mission to serve students from all 24 local school systems. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the great work that you do, and thank you for your presentation.
Can I ask you just a really, your budget, your funding, your revenue, where does it come from?
We are state aided. We raise additional funding from the public sector. We also have an endowment fund.
And federal? Do you get federal?
We get decreasing federal funding, which is not a significant source of revenue, but through MSDE we get a main grant funding. We do get some assistance from the local school systems. So it all totals, I think we're 92% state aided, private school to state aided.
So when you go for a bank loan, it's backed by?
We've gotten two loans thus far totaling $24 million. But now that we have to maintain a balance of $30 million in our endowment as a covenant to get the loan. So we went to the lenders again, and they said, if we give you an additional loan, we'll have to collateralize your buildings. So we really want to avert the need to have to get additional bank loans, and we want to be good stewards of the money we get and put that money directly into school facilities.
Yeah, that puts you in a unique position as compared to the
county. I'm sorry, sir.
It puts you in a unique position as compared to the county school system.
Yes, sir, because our only means of to pay the loans off are our endowment funds or what we're able to raise.
Great. Any questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to move to Harford County. And I know the county executive, I spoke with him earlier today along with Sheriff Gaylor, and the county executive had planned to be here himself, but obviously they're dealing with the emergency as a result of the shooting earlier today. So those of you who are joining us probably didn't hear, but I was expressing my thoughts and prayers being with the families of the victims today, and we're all standing strong with Harford County, and the state is providing every possible assistance that we can to work together with the local sheriff's department and the county government. Thank you all for being here.
Sorry for the
tragedy today.
Yeah, it was a sad day in Harford County, that's for sure. Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Treasurer Kopp, Comptroller Franchot, Dr. Sannon, and Mr. Gorell. I am Barbara Canavan, the superintendent of schools for Harford County, and when you send an invitation out for people to come and support you, you get a pretty large group.
You have quite a crew here.
We have our local elected officials, we have board members and members of the leadership team, and I'm very proud to have them here in support of the work that we do. Just want to very quickly go over the prior CIP request to let you know where we are. Youth Benefit Elementary School is nearing completion. It will open for full occupancy by the end of the month. The open space enclosure projects at William S. James Elementary and William Paca Old Post Road Elementary were completed over the summer and occupied this school year. We have one open space project, Bel Air Elementary. It is currently in design and planned to begin construction in June of 2018. We're also in the process of completing an HVAC systemic renovation at Riverside Elementary School, and Joppa Town High School has undergone a much-needed roof replacement. Our FY 2019 request, $11,544,000 for the second year of funding to replace the Habit of Grace High School with the Habit of Grace Middle and High School. $568,000 is required to address our last open space enclosure project at Bel Air Elementary School. $528,000 is the amount needed to replace the 24-year-old failing chiller at Falston Middle School. $1,376,000 is the funding required for building envelope maintenance and repairs at Aberdeen Middle School. This request will enable us to address our most critical roof replacement need and to complete the much-needed masonry point-up and waterproofing of the exterior brick walls. Before I open up for questions, I do want to thank all of you for your continued support, and particularly point out a meeting that we had last week with the IAC. It was a very collegial, collaborative meeting. They are always so helpful to Harford County, and I did not want to let this meeting go by without addressing that. So at this time, we're available for any questions.
Thank you. Would any of the elected officials or anyone else like to say anything?
Just want to say very much, thank you very much for all of the past support, and ask you for your continued support of this project, and me too.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here. We appreciate you supporting. Any questions? Thank you all very much.
Okay, thank you.
Could I just let everyone know that the words of the governor about the situation in Harford are felt by everybody in the state, obviously. But those, I'm sure the treasurer and I want to be associated with his comments. Harford is such a great place. I mean, really, it's a wonderful county. I'm sorry this happened. And to the extent we can be supportive in any way, please.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Somerset County.
Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Comptroller Franchot, Treasurer Knopp, John Gaddis, bringing you greetings from small but mighty Somerset County Public Schools.
I like that, small but mighty.
Yes, it is. It rings well. I have quite a few people here, which shows the support, but for time's sake, I want to thank them for coming from our board chair, Warner Sumpner, our elected delegation, and members of our staff. I've been in front of you for 4 years now. You understand our economic challenges. You have been very good to Somerset County, and we appreciate what you have done for us. The biggest and only project that we have in front of you is for year two funding of the J.M. Tawes Technical High School. It is truly a project that will transform what we do in Somerset County. With 7 of our 10 buildings being more than 35 years old, this building being one of them, it will truly allow us to help our students not only become college ready, but career ready, which is a huge initiative, and it's the reality in our county. So I could ask you 10 other ways. We just ask support for year two funding for the J.M. Tawes Technical High School project.
Thank you very much. I would imagine you win the award for coming the farthest today. Unless we have to calculate.
Some people out west,
maybe,
but
Garrett,
we'll take it. We'll
maybe
take
Garrett
it.
County came for the furthest. I'm not sure, but you guys might be tied for that.
We just appreciate the opportunity, and we appreciate the support that you've shown Somerset County. And, again, I've said it to you before, you've come to Somerset County, and that matters to people. So
can't wait to get back.
Well, greetings from Captain Tyler as well.
Tell the captain I said hello. Any questions, Mr. Comptroller?
I'm glad to see the IAC reconsidered the price per square foot.
That was a tremendous help to us.
Really, Mr. Grail, thank you for whoever was responsible. the right conclusion.
I want to congratulate you, because I see here it says the state cost share is 96%. That's down 4% from last year. So hey, you guys are heading in the right direction from 100%. So.
Absolutely.
So we're happy to help. Thank you all for being here.
All right.
If I may, Governor, I attended this
story. Oh, wow.
I'm going to say
something.
There you go.
And the school was replaced, and I attended 38 years ago. I think it did me a lot of good in vocational agriculture, and I look forward to it.
You didn't turn out so bad, Delegate Otto. Senator Mathias, anything?
Thank you, Governor. If I may, too, he turned out just great. And I'm telling you, we're very proud of Charles as our Eastern Shore delegation chair, to say the least. You know how important agriculture is and our commercial watermen and all. But he said what I wanted to say. As you look at Governor Tawes looking over us today, and the Comptroller Tawes, Treasurer Tawes, you know, that's a uniqueness in our state. And in his namesake, just for a moment, we thank you for your support at University of Maryland Eastern Shore with a pharmacy building there. And this will allow those students to call a vocation there, perhaps, or down Wallops Island. Half the jobs in Wallops, those technical jobs, are in Maryland or in the lower Eastern Shore. So this is what allows it to do. In closing, I just want to say, as before, modestly, I have a letter in the file. But in 2010, when I was fortunate to run this race, my treasurer, her dad, their family's been in farming since the 1600s, and they farm in the three lower counties. And I'd be leaving Somerset County at night after a long day of campaigning, and she had me on the phone. She'd say, "Well, how'd you do today?" And I said, "Honestly, if the folks in Worcester and Wicomico treat me as nicely as they do in Somerset, we're going to win this thing in a landslide. They're good, decent people, Governor. They've been good, decent people." If you remember, a couple years ago, I met with Joe Getty before he went onto the bench, and I asked him to convey to you, as your legislative person, to bring the prowess of our state to these great people who have seen adversity, they've managed it, and they're moving forward with it. Whether it's Hurricane Sandy or other challenges, they're super, they're great, and I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Sumter, anything you want to add?
We just thank you, and please come back and visit the controller. We enjoyed when you came and gave us the silver hand.
Thank you very much. And thanks for talking about Governor Taws and not the one on my other shoulder here. Now we're going to have Howard County up next.
Good afternoon, Governor Hogan.
Good afternoon.
Comptroller Francho and Treasurer Kopp. I am Michael Martirano, the interim superintendent of schools for the Howard County Public School System. I'm joined today by our Board of Education Chair, Cindy Valancourt, Board Members Kirsten Coombs, Sandra French. And I'm also pleased to have our County Executive, Alan Kittleman, as well as our County Council Chair, John Weinstein, and members of the Council, Jen Taras, are here as well. From the Howard County State Delegation, we have Delegates Bob Flanagan and Vanessa Atterbury, and Senator Gazzone was here momentarily, and he had to leave to get back to Howard County. Also, we have from our Central Office staff, Vanessa Brown Dennis, our Chief Operating Officer, Bruce Gist, our Executive Director of Capital Planning, and JTAF Siddiqui, our Chief of Communications. Board of Public Works, it's a new day in Howard County. We are working hard to improve communications with our stakeholders, fostering collaboration, and supporting creativity. I have taken swift actions to reestablish a more productive, collaborative partnership with our parents and community leaders, and a positive working relationship with our county and state government leaders. These relationships lay the groundwork for further progress and our mutual goal of regaining public trust. We have addressed head-on several chronic issues that have interfered with our system's progress and challenged our relationships with our stakeholders. We are placing the highest premium on openness, transparency, by actively responding to questions, input, and feedback from all stakeholders. We recently launched an online MPIA tracking system to make public requests and responsiveness documents readily accessible to our community. I have initiated a forensic audit to examine our budget practices over the past several years, and we are taking a close look at our chronic health care fund deficit to determine the underlying causes and long-term solutions. Suffice to say, we are reviewing our entire budget for further savings and efficiencies. We have diligently responded to the community concerns about mold with a robust program to ensure indoor environmental quality, using the best practices that are commended by the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA. We appreciate the restoration of $9.6 million in state funding, and we thank you again for that, and have put it into good use in making essential upgrades to school heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems at Pointers Run, Rockburn Elementary, Burley Manor, and Mountview Middle. And we just hired a certified industrial hygienist to be in a proactive way to address our ongoing air quality issues. We are committed to environmental sustainability in our public school construction program. Maintenance inspection scores have averaged over the last 7 years at 91.5%, and for that we are extremely proud. But Board of Public Work members, understand that Howard County is one of the fastest growing counties in our great state. Howard County Public Schools enrollment has grown steadily for the last several decades and has increased by approximately 1,000 students in each of the last several years. Our current enrollment is 56,800 students, beautiful children, which is over 1,000 more students than last year, and we expect to welcome more than 1,000 additional students next year. By 2026, our enrollment is expected to have increased by over 9,000 1,000 students. Rapid growth brings pressure for additional school capacity, especially in the northeastern portion of our county, where growth is most intense. Today, nearly one quarter of our schools, 17 of the 73, or 23%, are significantly overcrowded, with enrollment exceeding 110% target utilization. Addressing school overcrowding is an issue of equity and giving all students full access to high-quality educational programs and services. Our productive relationship with our Howard County County Executive Kittleman in the County Council has allowed us to secure enough funds to build a long-overdue replacement school for Talbot Springs Elementary. We also open a new elementary school in the Northeast region next year and an additional elementary school slated to open in 2023. But the issues at the high school are great. At the high school level, we project a deficit of 2,362 seats by 2022, with the number increasing to 2,686 in 2024. Our revised capital budget request includes the acceleration by 2 years of a much-needed, long-overdue 13th high school in 2022. This advancement and acceleration is a collective priority for myself, our Board of Education, our County Executive, and our County Council, and our state delegation. The new high school is estimated to cost over $100 million, with a total state request for close to $50 million over a three-year period. For FY 2019, we are not necessarily seeking additional funding for that school. We have other state requests, but we are requesting funding towards school construction, but are seeking local planning permission. I need to let you know that if you're reading the papers in Howard County, we're engaged in redistricting right now. And most recently, I have gone through the process with our policy 6010. We have introduced four plans to the Board of Education to address redistricting in our county. The Board of Education is taking all of that under advisement, and they will develop a fifth plan through a process of community engagement. Unfortunately, the issues of redistricting have not been addressed to the levels of which we needed to, and our initial plan had us moving 9,000 young people. As a result of the advancement of our high school from our county executive, we have the recommendation right now is to slow down the redistrict of the high school, but ultimately the Board of Education will have the final plan. At the same time, we are introducing innovation into our planning process by establishing additional programs in our school that are under capacity and requesting to move students out of those schools based upon programmatic needs. We hope to expand our dual credit enrollment, promote college and career readiness. So in conclusion, I want to say that it is a good day in Howard County. There's great progress occurring, and we're very proud of our student body and the growth of which, and the performance of which they have achieved. I want to thank this body for the support of which they provided, and you can view us as a true partner in using our dollars judiciously to get the very best for our students in Howard County. Thank you for your attention.
Well, Doctor, thank you, and you certainly seem like a breath of fresh air, and I want to congratulate you on the work that you've been doing, and particularly trying to address some of the challenges that you inherited, especially with respect to the indoor air quality, and glad to see some of your top priorities are replacing roofs and some of the building envelopes. And I want to make a comment about the team you have standing before us here. To have the county executive, the county council, the school board, your representatives to Annapolis all here is a big difference from in years past, where there seemed to be some contention back and forth, and we don't need to get into all that. But I just think it's great that you have a team standing here working together and trying to improve things. So thank you for your efforts, and I want to thank everybody for working together. Mr. County Executive Kittleman, would you like to say something?
Briefly, if I could, Governor, Mr. Controller, and Madam Treasurer, it's very good to see you again. Nice to be back in Annapolis for a while. I thought it was important for me to be here today, as long as with the other elected officials, to show that we are working together. We are together in Howard County like I don't think we have been in a long time. And I wanted to make sure you understood that I am all in with the school board and the superintendent on their proposals. The 13th High School is a huge deal for Howard County. As you've heard, we have a great need for that 13th High School. And I've agreed to try to accelerate that. The county council hopefully will agree when the capital budget comes on next spring. But we also need the help from the state to get that move forward. So I'm really asking for that, because we don't want to disrupt our communities and our families, especially the high school students. If they're in their freshman year or sophomore year, the last thing they want to do is go to a different high school to finish out their time. So we want to do the best we can to keep those communities together. Also, I just wanted to bring up also the fact that, you know, last year's capital budget, we put $44 million from Howard County worth $21 million from the state. So I appreciate what you do for us every year. You have been so supportive of Howard County. We want to continue that relationship with you. But I also want you to know that Howard County is willing to pay our share as well. And we want to continue to do that, but we want to do it in cooperation with you. The last thing I bring up is I know there's some talk about an IAC recommendation to do some reductions, and I know there's like a 1% suggestion in Howard County, and we would really ask the board not to approve that. You know, 1% might not sound like a lot, but when you have that over years, it could be a new roof, or it could be a HVAC system or something else that we need for a systemic renovation. So I would urge the board to consider that.
Thank you, Mr. County Exec. Would anybody from the council or the school board or either of our delegates?
Governor, Chairman. Thank you very much, John Weinstein, the chair of the council, and also the representative, one of the representatives that represents the area where the overcrowded high schools are. I'm not going to repeat what you've heard. I'm in full agreement with the condition that we're trying to address with the solution of the new high school. Fully supportive of that. We have great students and great schools. But there is an impact of the crowding that takes place in those schools, and this high school will address significant challenges that we will face as we continue to grow. We're a little bit of a victim of our own success. Our county is a great place to live, and a lot of people in the state and out of the state are coming to live.
It's a great place to live, and a big part of that is the great schools.
It is, absolutely, and so we want to keep that all in place. So thank you very much for your time and your consideration of our request.
Thank you very much.
Delegate. Hammond High School is also in renovation in the future, and you might know that school a little bit because your children attended
absolutely
there.
Absolutely.
And there's been a children attended there, so
my two of my daughters and Lieutenant Governor's kids all went to Hammond High.
I have a feeling someone overheard this, too.
Yes,
I shouldn't probably say this in a public forum, but my daughter, Jamie, had a big-time crush on the lieutenant governor's son. Probably still does.
Well, the cat's out of the bag on that one, Governor. It's been a pleasure, Governor Hogan, working with you for the last, I heard you say, exactly 2 3/4 years.
Thank you.
I go back a little farther with the comptroller, Peter Francho, and Nancy Kopp, treasurer. In fact, I've got a T-shirt at home that says socially responsible and fiscally prudent, which goes back to when we served with Chairman Rawlings, and I know from that experience, both of you are very focused on preserving and promoting high quality of education. Thank you for your longstanding service. And just a comment, I know some of the delegates and senators have been going off on a tangent. I mean, we know we have a virtuous cycle in Maryland where we promote quality education, and the result is, as the governor mentioned, people who have businesses and really thriving businesses want to locate their businesses in Maryland, and in turn that helps us fund a higher quality of education. And that there are a lot of businesses that we want to recruit and retain. I know Amazon is on your mind, and I think it's a great great thing that we have a lot of different competitors for locating and a lot of options for locating Amazon in the state of Maryland. But Howard County is right in the center. And no matter where they think of locating in Maryland, and it's going to be Maryland, they're going to be it's going to be a positive thing that we have such a high quality of education in Howard County. So your support would be very much appreciated.
Thank you, Delegate.
Cindy Valancourt, Chairman of the Board of Education. We all appreciate all of what you all do, but I'd just like to do a shout-out to our new IAC head because the sentiment and some of the ideas coming out of that department are very exciting to all of us, and we're really looking forward to working more closely with you.
Well, thank you very much. We have a much better working relationship with him as well. Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't mean.
Delegate.
Thank you.
Governor, Comptroller Francho, Treasurer Kopp. I just want to say, as a native Howard Countyan who went to Appleton, the Raiders, and I have not been around as long as my colleague, Delegate Flanagan.
Very few people have.
But I do want to agree with everything that's been said, including Delegate Flanagan in terms of Amazon. But we appreciate all of your support that you have shown Howard County these past years in terms of our education system and everything that we've been going through. It is a breath of fresh air in Howard County, and you can see with all of us standing up here, we all join forces when it comes to our children and when it comes to the education system. We all support that, and so I just wanted to thank you for all of your support for our county.
Thank you very much, Delegate. Any questions?
I just wanted to underscore again, Dr. Martorano, by not sweeping these problems under the rug, you've done a huge favor to all of us, because the controversies were never, necessary in my view. And I think county executive and the chair of the council and Jen Tarasa and the delegates, Delegate Flanagan, Atterbury, we all love a good fight when it's deserved. But that one was, I think, a bit of a curveball, and we didn't really need it. And the fact that you were able to come into a difficult, tense situation and deal with it with a transparent and accountable and open government, boy, thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your support for the public works. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Could I just say it would be remiss if I didn't say that it's a pleasure to see Flanagan and Kittleman together. And as you have heard, I believe it's becoming increasingly clear. First of all, we need to do something to get the right staff, maintenance, construction, that we have. This is a problem statewide. We've heard it from almost every jurisdiction, and the wise people in Howard County, I think, may have some answers that we could use statewide. It's something we all have to do. And second is the needs are outrunning our problems, and we have to figure out a way to fund so we can invest for the future. And I hope all you folks who are so dedicated to it and so wise will help us do that too. I know some of you, we may not agree on everything, but there's no doubt we agree on that. There's got to be some innovative way of funding good schools that will last and will be practical to maintain.
Thank you very much. And County Executive Kittleman, thank you for joining us. We appreciate that. We have back-to-back county executives that actually came down. So next up, we have Anne Arundel County and County Executive Hsu. Thank you. Yeah. He was. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Treasurer Kopp, and Comptroller Francho. I'm George Arlotto, Superintendent of Anne Arundel County Public Schools, and I'm joined today by our Chief Operating Officer, Alex Shatnovich, and our County Executive, Steve Hsu, as well as other supporters from Anne Arundel County. As a county, we continue to use a balanced and targeted approach to our capital budget request and capital improvement plan. With our latest independently produced and externally validated Strategic Facilities Master Plan, our Educational Facilities Master Plan, and the Comprehensive Maintenance Plan, we are able to formulate our needs and resources in a prioritized, data-driven working plan that closely integrates our capital improvements and maintenance activities. It also reflects our ongoing efforts to address our educational mission, goals, and programs over the coming decade. We, along with our local government, are dedicated to and focused on the strategic implementation of this balanced plan. As with any plan, there can be challenges, such as ongoing enrollment growth, regulatory and environmental compliance costs in a county that has approximately 520 miles of shoreline, and, like other LEAs, availability of resources. We work closely with our partners in county government to try and mitigate those consequences of these challenges. With the support of our county executive and county council, additional funds were recently made available by extending local bond duration for public school construction from 20 years to 30 years. We undertake detailed feasibility studies on each major project to ensure that the renovation versus replacement decision point is fully vetted. We routinely use prototype designs for replacement schools. We configure renovations to maximize the use of an existing footprint. And we utilize sound life cycle costing, value engineering techniques, and proven project delivery methods to drive decision making and ensure the public receives effective and efficient end products. Each funding request we receive helps improve our overall facilities condition index score, and extends the useful life of our assets, addressing continued enrollment growth, and reduces the ever-growing backlog of projects while allowing us to balance the resources that we have available. We appreciate your continued support over the years and look forward to your favorable review of and approval of our CIP.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. County Executive.
Thank
good
you,
to see you.
Good afternoon to you and to Treasurer Kopp, Controller Francho. Nice to see you and the members of the committee, particularly Secretary Salmon. Nice to see you on this day. We're here to talk about education. As Dr. Arlotto said, we're very proud of our school system here in Anne Arundel County, and we want to do everything we can to make it a great school system for every one of the 82,000 children who attend our schools. I pledge that my administration will do everything we can to support Anne Arundel County schools, and I believe Dr. Arlotto and I have formed a really strong working relationship that will advance that overall effort. We continue to find areas of partnership and collaboration, as evidenced by the recently approved 10-year plan for school construction that will expand the number of schools and reduce average enrollment per school, particularly at the high school level. As I think each of you knows, Anne Arundel County has the highest average enrollment of any school system in the state, which is very disturbing and inconsistent with great academic outcomes. Let me also add that our public schools have walked hand in hand with us in the battle against racism, discrimination, drug abuse, and addiction. With regard to the capital construction program, the infrastructure backlog that we have is no secret, and others have their own backlogs with which to deal. But our county has stepped up its efforts thanks to our expanded capital financing program supported by the 30-year bond program that the superintendent just mentioned. We'll be investing more than $1 billion over the next 10 years on school construction, including $650 million on high school construction alone. I know there are competing needs across the state. I'm here to stand with Dr. Arlotto, our board, and our employees, and Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Controller, since Anne Arundel County is well known to you. You know many of the problems very well that we have, and no doubt have seen many of them firsthand. My administration is committed to doing everything it can to maximize every dollar that we receive. And I mean that. I got to say, our staff works really, really hard to make the dollars go as far as they can go. We are, in fact, working on bringing on an engineering firm who will work with us not only on school projects but on all major capital projects and value engineer each and every project just as they do in the private sector. So very excited about that initiative. And our taxpayers deserve that. They deserve to have us scrutinize every dollar. That goes for school construction as well, and I certainly appreciate your consideration of our request this afternoon. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Mr. County Executive, and thank you for taking the time to be here with us. Any questions from Anne Arundel County?
No, I just wanted to say I want to thank the County Executive also because I think he runs a tight ship, and personally I appreciate that. And I also want to thank the Superintendent because I think the system is really well run. You mentioned that the county, obviously, like every jurisdiction, has got problems. But here's the difference between Anne Arundel and the rest of the counties. You have the solution, and he's standing right behind you. Alex Shaknovich, who is a...
the solution.
Yeah, the frequently praised Alex Shaknovich, who is currently making all sorts of contributions to the 21st Century School Facilities Commission, and he's proposed a number of changes to make this capital process more efficient, more effective for all of us, and thank you both for employing him, and if you ever feel generous, loan him to us for a while.
Not a chance.
Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us.
Mr. County Executive, I think, is what. Do you have some numbers? Can you get us some numbers on the impact of the bond life extension, the term extension? How much it bought you over time?
I would, yes, I'd be delighted to get that information to you.
Did the rating agencies?
Yeah, we've got it right here.
Mm-hmm. Any comments?
Interestingly, there were no repercussions whatsoever with the rating agency. What we did was looked at our debt service, and we were issuing at the time 15-year bonds, and found that we could extend the life of our bonds, and by lengthening the payback period, wind up with no more annual debt service than we had, but we were able to increase the capital program by about, I want to say, 25%. And I think it's well worth other jurisdictions and even the state perhaps consider it. And no, there were no repercussions whatsoever with the rating agencies.
I would love to see some numbers on that.
Delighted to show you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'd just like to thank all the superintendents, the local school boards, the elected officials for coming in today, the citizens who came to testify, and I want you to know that your input will be valuable as we formulate our capital budget. We still have one final item before us. That's item 7, the revised state and local cost share percentages as proposed by the IAC. From testimony we've heard today, I have some concerns about the proposal. Several school systems would be harmed by this IAC proposal, and I believe that we should hold these systems harmless for the next year. There are two legislative commissions currently studying the formulas that drive the cost share percentages, and they are set to present recommendations to the legislature for the upcoming legislative session, setting the percentages for 3 years when the legislature is likely to alter how they are formulated will, I think, create some instability for the local school systems and their capital programs. And I would motion that we amend the recommendation submitted to us by the IAC to set those state local cost share percentages for FY 2019 only, and hold harmless the 9 counties that would see a decrease in their state cost share percentages for fiscal year 2019. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion passes 3-0.
Could I make a comment? Because I think this is a very significant step that we're taking as a board. I think it underscores the importance that we place on education and the fact that we believe in, I guess, addition rather than subtraction. And I understand the formulas and the need for them to sort things out, but as the treasurer has said so often, we need more rather than less. And I applaud the motion by the governor and strongly support it.
Well, thank you. Before we adjourn, I just want to thank Secretary McDonald and her staff at the BBW, our own staff, the treasurer and comptroller staff, and everybody for all their hard work, along with the hard work of the IAC and Bob Correll. We want to thank you for all your great work, Superintendent Salmon, and even the Department of General Services, we want to thank you as well. So I want to thank everybody for all of their efforts today. And it was a long day, but I think it was productive and helpful, and we appreciate all the hard work.
Mr. Governor, if I could have the privilege, I want to recognize Joan and Trina and our two maintenance assessors and the phenomenal work they did to bring this all in on time.
Well, I really especially want to give a shout-out and thank you to you on behalf of the taxpayers because, you know, this was something we were pretty concerned about, having reports that were late, and you guys stepped up. Please stand up so we can applaud you.
Mr. Gorell, are these people that actually, or do they just oversee the maintenance reports, or do you actually do them? Come on up here, please. You are my hero.
Wait. They're going to get the double coins. I'm going to outcoin him.
Could you say your names out loud for the transcriptions? Can we have their names?
We have a little pile of them here. Oh, no. Oh, good, terrific.
Well, you know what?
Mr. Controller, I'd like to present you.
But seriously, I really applaud your efforts, and I speak about you all over the state as being skeptical and professional, but also fair. And so just keep it up. It's enormously helpful to us in, at this level to be able to get these reports and keep everyone's feet to the fire.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's great. Group shot. Okay. We'll go in between. One here, one there.
Thank you.
That was fun.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.